Hola, true believers, and welcome to the Superhero Hour, the only podcast in podcasting history. Full stop. I'm your host, Mike Gravano. To my right, your left, the one, the only, Taylor Wheelwright.
Thanks for having me, Mike. 132 this week. Only went up by one. Not moving up a whole lot on that count. The Pokemon count that I know that our listeners are scrambling for.
You only got one Pokemon this week?
Yeah, I didn't have a whole lot of time.
What the fuck are you doing?
I'm doing a lot of things. I got a lot of irons in the fire, which is not a Pokemon, I found out.
Irons in the fire?
Yeah, but if you fire is strong against steel type, I found out. I don't know why that's strong. I guess because it makes it more like malleable. But
doesn't it make it stronger to make a good sword? You put it in the fire.
Right? You would think, but no. Fire's super effective against steel.
What Pokemonster did you find?
Klefki. It's just a bundle of keys that's sentient.
That's true?
Yeah, that's a real thing.
They should have probably stopped after the original 52.
That is exactly what I thought. As soon as I found that one, I was like, you've gone too far. There should be a point, and when you get to this point, you know you've crossed it.
That's the artist had to turn in 30 things that day, and he was tapped out and went, oh, I don't know, and my key, a basket of keys, I guess.
Yeah, like its description is literally, if it likes a key, it'll hold on to it forever, so people give it bank keys. And I was like, that's wildly irresponsible.
To your left, my right, Ryan.
Mike, now is usually the time where I say, welcome back. That's what I usually do.
Thank you, yes. But you're not going to do it?
I'll do whatever I want.
What are you going to do right now?
I don't know. Think about what Pokemon I would create, I guess, if I was tasked to create them. You right said now, there's an original 52?
151.
151. I was close. Because
okay. 52 seems to be the common number with nerdy things.
Right.
So 52 would make sense.
Yeah. If DC owned Pokemon, that's how many it would originally be.
Or playing card companies.
Or playing.
There's 52 of those.
Look around the room, or not. Right now, can you, off the top of your head, come up with a Pokemon better than Klefki?
Yeah, it's Klefki.
Officer Klefki?
Duck fart.
What is it?
It's a duck that farts on you. Is that pretty much how you do it?
Yeah, that's pretty much. I think that actually is just the description of Psyduck, though.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
He farts with his brain.
Yeah, he's a brain fart.
Don't we all?
Ryan, what are we actually doing today?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, well, as you said, we're going to talk about... No, you only said that we're the greatest podcast, or the only podcast that's ever been invented. But on this podcast, we're going to talk about every single television show based on a comic book that came out in the last week. Mostly, though, The Flash. We haven't focused on The Flash in a while.
It's been a while.
Tonight was part two of Gorillaz.
Before we talk about Gorillaz and then everything else that came out this week, our good old friends, The Moms 1 Million.
Good! Finally!
They're making some noise again.
What's their theme song again? What do we play every time?
Million moms, you're gonna hug them all.
Perfect.
Is that it every time?
Did Taylor, how many million moms did you collect this week?
I collected 1,000,001. I'm a little bad.
Wow.
There is I'm gonna say a little known, but I'm just an adult, so maybe I'm wrong. A little known cartoon called Star vs. the Forces of Evil on Disney XD.
Nope.
And
not
they,
a real channel.
It is. Disney XD.
That's not a real channel. You
it's
made that
extreme
up.
Extreme definition.
And no, wait, hold on. That's an emoticon, right?
Yes.
That's a big smiley face with its eyes closed? Yeah,
Wait, okay.
Mike's doing it.
That is not how they got the name of that channel, is it?
I think it might be.
I'm angry.
Have you ever watched the channel?
No.
That's the face you make the entire time. Mike, what was that face? Listeners, I wish you could see this face.
He does it so well. I've never seen a human being make that face perfectly, but Mike's doing it.
I know we don't often put pictures of anything, especially not ourselves, on like Facebook or on the post, but maybe we should just give them what they're missing.
It's really good.
So Star vs. the Forces of Evil, the characters, whoever they may be, went to a concert, and everybody in the boy band's like slow jam paired off and kissed, and in the like hundreds of couples kissing, one or two were dudes. There's gay couples in here in the corner. This is the first gay couple on Disney. And so the 1 million moms went, no, in the corner of that pixel, there's two gay heads kissing, and a sea of hetero heads kissing. Cancel it. Get rid of Disney. And it's a rough week for the 1 million moms because they just said that LeFou.
Yes.
Yes. Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm. But that's the side thing. That's the smaller thing. They're freaking about a show
that's
called
crazy
Star vs. Forces of Evil.
Because I've only seen people on my Facebook very loudly complaining about the Beauty and the Beast thing. And
wait, why complaining?
Because they're like,
Well, it shits on their childhood?
Yeah, they're like, well, I guess I'm not going to see Beauty and the Beast now.
Who are you following on social media?
I'm from Texas.
That's true.
Jesus Christ.
And you can't unfollow your entire family.
Yeah. So that was a thing that I saw a lot of.
Bummer City.
Disney, yeah. Say what you want about Disney, and we say a lot of things. We're very hurtful towards them. Just
fuck
because
you, Mouse House.
Being a business is like a competition, and one day we think that we will overtake them. And this is just so. The start of it, is talking shit on Disney. But they've been like cool with the gays for decades, like since the 70s they've been down with this.
Is that true?
Yeah, like they
divine
Disneyland offered gay days.
I thought is long
before it was cool to be gay.
Did they offer that, or suddenly a bunch of gay people showed up in white t-shirts?
They didn't do it. They didn't beat them in the head. So
and
I think
70s, and that's a win.
I think that's a big step.
That's acceptance, right?
But the whole Michael Jordan theory of I'm not, or the O.J. Simpson theory of I'm not black, I'm O.J., Michael Jordan not fighting for black things, or Tiger Woods also did the same thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think Disney has that. I think Disney really puts its nuts on the door for gay stuff and is willing to lose
Disney
the
million. Disney puts its nuts on the door for gay stuff.
All million of the moms in order to do that. And I think that's cool.
Is that why like half moms. The Disney characters don't wear pants? Is because they're constantly putting nuts on doors?
Yes, that's basically
it. Do you know how much time you'll lose in your day if you have to put your nuts on a door every time you need to make a statement?
Well, my door is,
if you have to unzip those pants.
I open my house door. There's two ways to open it. It's key or nuts. And some fucking monster comes along and says, I love keys, and steals the key. So I have no choice but to put nuts on door.
You are lucky that he is not Clef Nut and just steals your nuts.
That's probably better than Duck Fart, right? That's a better Pokemon.
Clef Nut is a thing, right? Like
a cleft palate, but on your nards?
Well, no, I think like a cleft nut is like a type of like hardware that you can buy at Home Depot.
So like, I need some screws.
Oh, you're trying hard here. This is like sports level conversation.
What are the metal discs called? I need those little washers. Metal discs that I try to put in guns and break most of the guns.
Well, how the fuck do you try and put washers in guns?
No, you know those toy guns that shoot foam discs?
Oh, that's wildly dangerous if that would have worked. That's no better.
So I need washers.
Yeah.
I need screws, and I need cleft nuts.
Yeah.
Go order that and see what happens.
And then you go and put the nuts on the door.
Do you prefer a world where cleft nuts means you have cleft palate on your nuts, or where your lip is a little messed up because there's nuts coming off of the top lip? What is the better cleft nut?
Nuts coming off your top lip, like...
So we have to go to all these villages and perform surgery.
So like I can,
movie 43.
Like I can constantly be licking nuts all day.
Yes.
I'm taking that one. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but they're your nuts.
Oh. Yeah, all right,
no,
I'm
that's
on.
That's better.
Yeah, I'm on board.
If I'm licking nuts, they're going to be mine.
Yeah.
I've been saying that since the day I was born.
You have.
Yeah.
I was born alone. I'm going to die alone. I'm going to lick nuts alone.
And that's why I love the Disney Channel.
Well, fuck you, 1 million moms. Let's get to the super serious shushy bullpen. This week on the super serious shushy bullpen, we have a new segment. Unless you guys did this while I was gone and I didn't listen.
We did, but we didn't record it.
Excellent.
But we did it like 34 times off air.
Well, this is, I'm pretty sure what the segment we're about to do is why there's nerd culture and why this is a show at all. It's called Crazy Crossovers. Double K's. I'm glad we went with just two K's.
You can do two or four. Stay away from the three.
Cannot do three.
Why not three?
Crazy, kooky, comic crossovers. That's four K's. That's fine.
Like, a quad K.
A quad K.
Spelled with a K.
Ooh. I only go for five K's.
In Crazy Crossovers, we take two shows that we watch, which there are many. They do not have to be currently airing. Any of the Superhero Hour shows. And smash them together. And Ryan, I'm going to need you to start, and I'm going to need you to tell us what the shows are and why these two worlds are colliding.
Okay, I can do this, Mike. Thank you for trusting me, and I now trust you, finally. So I'm not going... Do I have to go into detail about how they got together? There's some sort of teleportation?
Boomstick.
I don't know what started the teleportation, some sort of teleprompter, let's say. But Thea...
Mm-hmm, I'm listening.
Queen, right? She's not been married. She has her father's name. Thea Queen winds up in the Gotham universe.
Mm.
And Thea and Jim Gordon go on a mission for an episode to figure out this. They have to find this fucking bad guy who is like some sort of surf punk who keeps driving beautiful women off the road because this is devastating to them. And they can't not figure out who the fuck Volchuk is and why he is doing all of this stuff.
I'm furious that it took me more than a millisecond to figure out what you were doing. What is a Volchuk?
Volchuk is this fucking surf punk asshole tattooed idiot who, what he does is he sees Jim Gordon hanging out with pretty girls, who may or may not be related to Thea Queen. And maybe it's her older sister. Maybe it isn't. We don't know. Maybe she's hanging out with Mrs. Cooper. Maybe she's not.
Is Mrs. Cooper the Penguin's mom? The Penguin's stepmom.
Thea Queen and the Penguin's stepmom do have a little moment where they walk past each other, even though one is dead, and like double take and then move on with the episode. But this punk is knocking people off the road, and Jim Gordon hears about this one girl, Marissa, and says, that's it. That's the final straw. And these two go after Volchuk.
Volchuk sounds like the shittier updated version of a robot.
I was about to say, it sounds like
five chucks.
Like Voltron sold by Chuck E. Cheese.
I like that. That's better than mine. It's just five chucks.
Yeah, I know.
Banded together.
Like shoes?
Yeah. Five fucking Converse shoes.
See, that's not a bad, that's not a big bad guy to fight. Like, that's not going to be that hard. Yeah, it's just five shoes.
Five shoes is, in my country, that's about, what, 4 feet?
Roughly, yes.
Yeah.
Texas is a weird place.
I've washed Converse in the washer before. Mm-hmm. And by washer, I mean...
Not the little metal
disc. Not the little metal disc, but the actual clothes thing. And so they get all tied together. So I've fought five chucks before. It's not that hard.
Look, if you throw all your shoes into a washer, you know you're going to lose one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. It goes where the socks go.
Well, we had a whole range where we had to throw those in. We called it the Washer Texas Ranger.
Wow. That's my impression of the outro music. I thought that maybe...
I'm not laughing at Taylor's joke. I'm laughing at that he had to, like, cartoonishly bite his fist because he cracked himself up so much. So did Volchuk kill Marissa?
Yes.
That's what we find out. This seems
a different show.
This seems like a... No, no, no. You said he finds out about Marissa and she's the...
Oh, right, right, right. On this same show I'm talking about.
Marissa Tomei?
Yes.
Well, you say... Nah, never mind. The place that Volchuk is in a big group of trees. So when Thea asks, where's Volchuk? Jim Gordon says, oh, at wood. At wood. And then he points over to the trees.
Because he is, at this point, he's so exhausted from like sprinting for an hour.
He's essentially a caveman.
He's just, at wood.
Yeah.
At what point do we get to see Jim Gordon just clock somebody across the jaw?
Oh, that's going to be probably two or three times a scene.
Does he have to go undercover as one of the beach dudes, so he just wears leather cuffs and a white t-shirt and jeans?
And yes, if things get too hairy, he smashes a glass bottle on the pier and...
Will Thea ride on his handlebars of a bicycle? How undercover do they get?
All the way.
This is a season-long arc you're preparing.
Yeah, which means they hook up, which is totally fine. If one sister dies, you can hook up with the other sister. That is in the rules.
Civil War rules.
Except, like, area codes, maybe leave that particular area code or zip code, and then I think you're fine.
So they have to leave Gotham proper?
Yes. Go to Gotham Heights.
Gotham Heights.
Yeah, where the rich people live.
So that's where Bruce lives.
That's where Bruce lives. Or David, as we call him now, because we don't want to sound gay.
Oh.
That's a reference from last week about David Bruce Banner. I apologize.
I was there, and it took me about five seconds.
I was just like, why
that?
Is Ryan suddenly homophobic? I'm not okay with
this.
Well,
I didn't think suddenly. I knew it was there.
It's been bubbling.
I'm surprised it was on mic.
Look, I was born homophobic. I'm a die homophobic. I'm a sing homophobic.
Baby, you were born this way. Anything else about this special, very special episode of Gotham? Is Thea in Speedy uniform? Is she in her new
political? Yeah, like the pantsuit.
Why
everything.
Does she care about Voltrex?
Okay, that's a herpes pill, I think. She cares because all of the girls that Volchuk kills look exactly like an older sister that she never had in the Arrow universe, but sort of feels it anyway.
So
like this is like a new flashpoint.
Yes, exactly. She just goes with it.
Well, yeah, that's, I think you said, do we have to say why it happened? It's just Flashpoint.
Yeah.
Barry fucked up so many universes when he Flashpointed it out, so it's just rippling slowly.
Also, Seth Cohen's on this episode. All right,
I was going to ask you if Bullock is suddenly played by a gangly Jewish boy. Taylor.
Yeah.
Give us your crazy crossover.
All right. No surprise, Riverdale.
What?
Yeah. Crosses over with The Walking Dead.
I really thought you were going to say Riverdale.
So did I. But this is my first one too, so like we can tag team this if you're okay with that.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah, that was of course.
Okay, so what was your idea for Riverdale meets Walking Dead?
That we find out Riverdale actually takes place 6 years ago, which is why there's so many Blue Jasmine references. And so we wake up in modern times, Riverdale, because Walking Dead is in six years since the zombocalypse started. Yeah. And then Carl and Enid ran away because they heard there was a town where the kids have just as much power as the adults for literally no reason. And then it's basically at that point just afterlife with Archie.
I absolutely love that idea. My idea was actually the entire Archie gang, same age that they are now, same fashion and everything, just shows up at like the Savior's compound and hangs out with Negan and just starts doing their shit to all of Negan's people. And like, meanwhile, we still have like Rick's crew is still like doing their thing. Mm-hmm. But every time we cut to Negan's compound, instead of like Negan preparing stuff, it's just the Archie kids fucking with everyone and trying to find like their dead friend and hosting a talent show.
And they're so catty and annoying. That
yeah. Like they're
Negan
hanging out with
kill
like,
them. He's just like, ah!
Like they're hanging out with like Dwight and like making fun of his burned face, calling him Two-Face. And or
Veronica would have so many one-liners about goddamn burn face.
She would die happy there.
Do you think when Negan was preparing to iron somebody else's face, like Moose's perhaps, to like blend these two groups together, do you think Veronica or Cheryl Blossom would just be like quipping about it in the background instead of being like horrified?
Oh yeah, so many quips. My question is that if it's not just the Archie kids that come over to The Walking Dead, but the entire, all the parents too.
Oh yeah.
Where does Negan rank in meanest person? Because I think
he's at least like seven. Or
I was
going
to say seven. Yeah, there's at least six meaner adults on Riverdale than there is Negan on The Walking Dead.
Like, I think Cheryl's mom is meaner than any character has ever been on any TV show by orders of magnitude.
She's big mean. We've also been introduced to the quietest mean in the world with Josie's dad.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And so Negan's going to get screamed at and just very subtly dug at because he's just a big dumb white man.
And honestly, I think Negan falls below Miss Grundy, the child molester, a little bit. A little bit. I don't know. I interpreted meanness as like an overall sinister attitude and denial of...
Look, I know
morals.
She fucks kids because they have good abs, but he does smash people's heads in with a baseball bat.
Yeah, but like he doesn't fuck them.
What's the baseball bat's name again?
Lucille.
Which Riverdale character would you like to have Lucille? If Negan were to die and one Riverdale character could pick it up, who do you want to do that?
I can't say Skeet Ulrich, right? That's too on the nose because he's the most Negan-like.
It's on the nose because that's your answer to every question I ask you.
It is. I would honestly say, and I know it's stacking the deck, but I'd give it to Veronica because I feel like she just already has the walk and the look. If she's holding like a cool like barbed wire baseball bat walking down the hallways.
And the Archie universe does need a hit girl type. And yeah. I think Veronica's the most in the running for that. So
I think it's either there's three tops. Veronica, Betty, because she's fucking crazy. Or Cheryl, just because I feel like she would put cherries on it.
Well, she's an actual villain.
Yeah.
And so that makes sense for the next time Rick and then they come to take over, it's a big fight, and then it's just all these teenagers ruling. They're like, we can't kill teenagers. And at that point, Cheryl just bashes them in the face with the
bat. Teenagers in high school don't know how to wield a bat with barbed wire yet. That's something that you learn eventually. I'm going with Betty's dad. Betty's dad... is just missing one thing.
And we've seen him be crazy in the past.
Yes. Yeah.
Dead man on campus,
sure. The D-Mock, we've seen him be crazy. But if everybody, all the parents are like at this ultra elite level, except for him, he's been like neutered essentially. So let's give him that phallic barbed wire bat and see what he's capable of.
Do you know what I love is he kills Rick right away. And then Fred, what's Archie's, Fred Andrews takes yes. over. And it's the Rick we've always wanted and needed. His name is now Fred, but he is just true to comic character. He loses his hand immediately, but I feel like Fred Andrews is way closer to the real Rick Grimes than Andrew Lincoln's Rick Grimes is.
I hope that Fred Andrews loses his hand because he hits it off with a bat with barbed wire on it just to prove a point. And it's not a good point. It's like, please put the seat down when you're done peeing.
This is how much I love you.
And then hits his hand off with a barbed wire bat.
I do like that Fred Andrews ends every sentence and punishment to himself with, "This is how much I love you," and slowly, ritually sacrifices a part of his body.
He seems like he's the best parent until you find out about that, and then he wears a horsehair vest underneath all of his shirts, and he's just as crazy as
you lose
else.
A lot in the editing.
That's our first crazy crossovers. When we come back, it'll be talk about The Flash and the gorilla's attacks. This week on The Flash, Gorilla Grodd makes good on his promise to Barry and brings an army, or at least a platoon, of gorillas to Central City Earth 1. Barry realizes the only way to handle the problem, but then everybody tells him he can't kill, even if it means it would save hundreds of thousands of lives. And even after Grodd aims nuclear missiles at Central City, because that's what we're dealing with these days. Meanwhile, Wally and Jesse are moving in together, so Wells lies and says he's dying. Gentlemen, I ask you this. If you have three speedster heroes, is there ever a time where it's okay for all of them to be hanging out in the same room in street clothes, or do you always have at least one always patrolling the city, especially when an evil telepathic genius gorilla has threatened to destroy it all?
Well, first of all, it doesn't take them very long to put on their costume, or uniform, I'm sorry.
But they should never all just be relaxing. At this point, you have like a band of people. You need to treat it like a real job that you take seriously, which is something they never do, even though they call themselves Team Flash.
Honestly, if they had just one more person, they could have each person take an 8-hour shift.
Yeah.
You're done. You've got the whole clock covered. Like, go for it.
Wait, they run fast.
Yeah.
That's how they get that speedster name.
Mm-hmm.
And they read fast. Do they sleep fast? Can they sleep for 8 minutes and then that's an hour?
Well, they've addressed that they have like a super fast metabolism, right? So like,
and there's that ultra sleeping where you're up for 4 hours, then you sleep for a half an hour. Up for 4 hours, sleep for it's like polyphasic sleeping.
Is this what you're doing right now?
Does it show?
Is this why you're so bad on the show right now?
Well, I need to take a nap real soon. It's coming up against it.
Should
I've been
we go
up for
live
three
on the
and
nap?
A half hours.
That's why it takes us like 3 days to record every podcast because Mike just keeps napping in the middle, but he says they're 30 minutes and they're 8 hours each.
Yeah, it's just a little nap. All I'm saying is they're bad at their job, and I'm sick of them being bad at their job.
No, it's the three worst people that you could put on a team. Like, we hear the legends of Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, and there's some issues there. Look, they don't click all the time. I understand. But I think that they can figure out how to be a team, how to strengthen everybody's weaknesses. These three knuckleheads couldn't be more knuckleheads if they got their hands cut off by a baseball bat with barbed wire and surgically implanted their knuckles that they just cut off on their heads. Would they not be more knuckleheads?
They would be more knuckly-headed that way.
No, I'm saying they wouldn't be.
They
Mike.
Wouldn't be.
They wouldn't be.
I stopped listening.
They wouldn't not be. They wouldn't not, like, being as in existing?
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't not. Is this like a Hegel problem?
It's a bad team, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
When you just can't say all you care about is the future and saving people you love, and then do like all, and then fill your apartment with fucking flowers and candles all of the time. If there's a gorilla with an army, you fucking get off your ass and run all around Central City until you find that army.
Not to mention, your whole deal is safety, like saving the town. Filling your apartment with candles and flowers, I think the most flammable thing, that has got to be super dangerous.
Super dangerous. Never get candles near flowers.
No.
The candles will burst right into fragrance.
Also, it's crazy that like they couldn't find Grodd. There's three people. They can run super fast, cross the city in an instant, and they're like, yeah, we don't know where he is.
He's blocking the satellite. That's probably illegal. That is NSA-level fucking creepy hacker watching shit.
Yeah, because they can't, first of all, they totally cannot be surveilling people that way. And how the hell is Grodd going to block communications like that? And that doesn't alert someone in the government.
Also, gorillas will beat their chest and scream at the top of their lungs if they tie their shoes in a way that they really appreciate. Like, they are loud.
They do it when they're
proud.
Mad. They do it when they're happy.
No matter what.
It's the one thing they got.
And there was an entire army of gorillas just outside this city for over a day because they get
out
because they get there at night, and then they go through an entire another day with the guy under their control and then have another night. So what were they doing for a whole day and no one saw them?
Guys, The Flash teaches me that writing a TV script is real hard. It's real hard to do.
I do love it. So they get a general who's in charge of the nuclear codes of the base that's right near Central City. And this is dumb. This is the kind of stuff that I guess is dumb to pick at the show at, that there's a nuclear base right there. instead of like attacking with the army. But I do like when they figure out who the guy is because they put a magnet helmet on Joe's head. It's watch the episode. I know this sounds like gibberish, but they draw it and their reaction is they all expect that when he draws the thing, they're going to know exactly what to do. And he draws a person and they're like, yeah, but who's that guy? Which did you guys ever watch the Justice League cartoon?
No.
There is an episode where Lex Luthor and the Flash switch brains.
I have seen that episode.
And it reminded me of that because it's the Flash where Luthor's running around in the Flash's body. He's like, well, at least I can ruin Flash's secret identity. And he takes off his mask in the mirror and goes, well, who the hell is this guy? And so I do like, I hope that is just like a Flash thing in every iteration. At some point, they stare at a thing and go, who's this guy? It's a funny, weird, hopefully decades long joke.
I'm surprised that they didn't look at it and go, oh, that's Mike Pence. Because that was Mike Pence that they drew.
Oh, that Joe drew?
Yeah, Joe drew Mike Pence, and then they were like, oh, it also sort of looks like this other guy.
Oldish white guy. That's Mike Pence.
Yeah. I don't have super high hopes for this episode of The Flash cracking the top of the rankings tonight, but I will say that would be very different if he drew Mike Pence and they went to the like our current vice president and busted his ass.
They just
that episode would be moving up. Yeah, not even like they just ignored the gorillas. Like, nope, we got to handle this Mike Pence thing.
No,
first.
It's like about somebody who hates the gays, so we're gonna go handle that.
Like, it's like Mike Pence heard that Joe Biden was doing a lot of like Parks and Rec appearances, and he was like, "What can I get on?" And the CW was like, "Come on, let's do this."
They find Mike Pence in the middle of signing some bill that says, gay gorillas can be turned into straight gorillas with just a little bit more government money. And then, yeah, they just go bust his ass.
And then we saw the Chekhov's gun is Barry speedbagging the giant bag until it splits. And then all three speedsters just do that to Mike Pence until his brains explode.
Or just sand comes out. They find out that he's just filled with sand as well.
He's Oogie Boogie.
Okay, so you mentioned Barry doing the speedbagging and made the motion. I want to talk about, and I don't know if either of you noticed this, but when they're right before Gypsy shows back up, they're like doing a little pan and you see in the background, Barry's talking to Iris and he's just like telling a story and he's like kicking something and then starts doing like a punching motion on the ground. And I want to know what he was talking about.
Was he telling the story of that time he punched the sandbag?
It looks like he was either telling that story or about the time he kicked a small child because he was doing it at like ground level.
And then did a little disco dance.
She's like, well,
in celebration.
What did you do today? Because there's a lot of Flash adventures we just don't see. They don't have time to show all the times he's out. He's like, well, this fucking punk 10-year-old stole a Charleston chew from a 7-Eleven and I got him. And I got him good. I punched him real fast and then I kicked him when he was down.
You lose a lot in the editing.
Can you even remember the last time you guys had a Charleston chew?
Years.
It's been at least 25 years of my 24 years of life.
You've never... All right, I'm not going to get upset.
Okay. His mom ate one when she was getting
what
fucked.
Is a That's Charleston a... chew? Did you like just make a reference to my mom getting fucked?
Yeah. Your dad was eating a Charleston chew and shared it with your mom while he was inside of it.
How dare you? That's my dad would never eat a Charleston chew.
That's how jism works. I have a question for you guys.
Hold on. What? Charleston chews are involved?
Yes.
Well, how?
Well,
explain
this
process.
Texas public schools.
Yeah, like you guys
people.
Don't are not.
They put us in a room and they said, this is a possum. This is a female possum. This is what they do. And that's how I learned.
There's a lot of playing dead and...
Yeah, that's why, never mind, I'm not going to make that joke.
Which also relates a lot to the night you were conceived. I have a question. So, everybody has all these various versions of them on other worlds, mm-hmm. right? We haven't seen any other Jesse Quicks. Do you think that there's another world where her superpower is shooting chocolate milk at everyone, and they call her Jessly Quick?
Yes, I do.
You do think that?
Yeah.
You think that that's actually the case, Mike?
Yeah.
You think that that is actually going to pop up in the show sometime?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. I'm glad you think that. I think that's a literal thing that's going to happen on the show.
I actually think that.
What is the over-under on Jessly Quick appearances for the rest of the duration?
I actually think that she has that same power in another universe, but instead she's like kind of like more circular shaped and they call her Ovaltine.
That would also be perfect.
Well,
because she's a teenager.
Yeah, because she's a teenager. She's an Ovaltine.
When her and Wally in their great romance were on separate
One
Earths,
of the best of fictional times.
Did he not? I guess because she's Wells' daughter, so we know for a fact she does not exist on our Earth, Earth 1. Because I was going to say, why didn't he just run around until he found that Earth and make her fall in love with him real quick?
That's true. Or just replace her with a different Jesse Quick. Can't he just go get a new daughter?
Yeah, Harrison? Just like another Jesse real quick.
Yeah, and
what
to go back to his Earth.
Both Wally and Wells have the same idea. Run to different worlds, get different Jesse Quicks, and then the original Jesse Quick is just left in the dust.
Well, it's not going to be the same idea because Wally's going to run around trying to bang them all. Right. So let's hope that's not the exact same idea.
He's going to run around trying to show them all Casablanca.
Nope, you don't like it? Get out of here.
Yeah, we learned in this episode that that's Wally's favorite movie because what I know about illegal street racers, they all are super into old school film.
I feel like you're not being racist right now, but you are being something.
No, I think I'm being classist.
He's being racist.
Racist.
That's way better than Jess Lee Quick.
It's not, but
why
I...
Why would you say that to me? I'm right here, you asshole.
It'd be mean if I did it when you weren't here. What worked for you guys in this episode?
Jess Lee Quick, for one.
Honestly, we watch this together, and I think that we have to stop doing that. Because every single time we watch a show together, it's my least favorite show of the week. I don't know what that is, but I want out of this show.
It's mostly because I repeat everything that one of the characters says in a really annoying voice right after.
Like screaming at the top of your lungs. Yeah. And then when you're done with that line, you will then call us both up and then scream into your phone so we have to listen to it again.
Oh no, it's Salivar!
It's basically that.
I complain about this with Supergirl a lot, but mm-hmm. compared to Supergirl, I actually think, or compared to The Flash, I think Supergirl's doing okay, which is having no idea what stakes mean.
Right.
And the way that they will film that shot with the eye, like will the general's eye thing mm-hmm. work in the lock or will Barry get the code done in time? They have no idea how to put people on the edge of their seat.
And it's because they think they're putting us on the edge of the seat because so Barry has to try 9,000 different combinations to stop the nuclear missiles, even though he could just run each of
them
away. Okay,
can I bring up another thing that annoyed me about that scene? So
before I'm even done saying what annoyed me.
Yeah, you know what?
It annoyed you so much you have this. No, please.
I was just, because I said it's 9,000 combinations. No, it's not. It's five digits. So that is at the very least 99,999. And if you include 0000, that's 100,000 combinations, you dumb idiots. How do you not know math?
Not to mention he didn't go in order. He just went at random, which means how many times was he putting in things that he had already put in before?
Well, that is certainly annoying. Do it systematically, Barry Allen. But also, he stopped five times because this is how the writers think tension's made. But instead, it makes you look like the whiniest, bitchiest superhero because, like, guys, my fingers are real tired. What are we going to do?
That is a perfect Barry Allen impression.
In that period, you'd put in 3,000 more numbers in that one sentence.
And the shows that we really like that we talk about, iZombie or... let's just say there's a second good show, Legion. Nah, that doesn't fit here. But they understand that stakes don't always have to be the end of the world.
Right.
Relationship stakes can be that too. This show has no idea what any level of stakes is. And it makes it boring.
At this point, the biggest relationship stakes, and I don't want to go through like the same Iris Barry bullshit all the time. I'm fine with them being happy and DTF. But is, will Cisco ever get a girl? And he is very whiny about it to the point where in the beginning of the episode, he said he's just going to take the pill. Which made me think he's going to become a men's right activist.
Oh, I thought you meant he was going to kill himself.
No, well...
I thought he was going to enter into the Matrix.
When a dude can't... Well, the red pill, that is the fucking MRA bullshit, because they took the red pill, man, and they see how weak all us cucks are.
Oh.
And a lot of them get there because they are lonely dudes who are super into tech, and I think that's the route Sisk is going to go. He's going to be the ultimate villain.
# make America great again.
Exactly.
I have a piece of advice that... And I don't want to sound like an old man... that would say something like MAGA, but just cut the hair. Just cut the hair, dude.
Stupid.
Just cut the hair.
It's real dumb. Why does he keep it? Has he explained that? Is it like a thing for him?
Does he not know that all of us, including all three of us, but every other handsome man I've ever met, is super into the man bun right now? We all have one. Why can't he have one?
Man bun it up. And you know what? It makes our headphones really annoying, that man bun.
It's hard.
We don't take it off.
Uh-huh.
Or at the very least, a Cinnabon. Like, you bring a girl a Cinnabon, she's on board.
The problem is the only way to handle it, like to keep it on your head, is a staple gun, and it gets infected every fucking time.
Oh, are you not? You got to use a real light alcohol wash. I use vodka, but you can use whiskey or those are the two alcohols I know.
Oh, the thing I was doing was just rubbing the Cinnabon in that much harder.
Oh, like, no, you can't do that.
Sopping the blood up and then trying to feed it to your girlfriend, which is not the way to go.
No, that's how you get icing scalp.
And maggots, apparently. Lots of maggots, yeah.
The Flash airs on the CW Tuesdays. When we come back, it'll be to talk about every other single TV show. In the back pages, of course, we cover every single other show in ranking from least best to best best. Starting with the least best of the week. And we fail, gentlemen. Every week we try to make the main segment the best show, but try as we might, The Flash came in dead last.
But if The Flash comes in second, that means we failed. This means we capsized. Like, we did terribly here.
We bet everything we owned on red, and it came up black 1,000 times.
We actually didn't talk a lot about The Flash during the Flash segment. What a letdown. What, like, Gorilla Time is my favorite time. And
last week's episode was pretty dope.
It was all right.
It gave me some promise, and I was like, oh, they're going to really turn it out for the second episode.
No.
No.
Is The Flash one of the shows we talked about? They have two teams of writers?
That seems like it.
Is that the show that gave us that idea?
Maybe, yeah.
That they have a team that like does pretty well most of the time, and then they always go on break right after they do real well.
Also, did not handle with the character Gypsy. I thought that we were going to finally find out if saying Gypped is racist or if that's just a totally fine thing to say. I don't know if that's the case.
Like, she starts to walk away, and Cisco's like, I got gypped again, and she turns around and went, we are never together, you racist sack of
only
bullshit.
I can say the G word.
Coming in second worst best is Supergirl.
In this week's episode of Supergirl, Dean Cain is back as Daddy Danvers, and each character has a reaction to this story beat. Alex Danvers is very happy and will murder anyone who says Dean Cain is less than perfect, which is, I think, the way that all of us feel. Mon-El, however, is the opposite of Alex Danvers. It doesn't make sense that Dean Cain would come back right when he did. This means one of two things. Mon-El is a paranoid asshole of a shitty boyfriend, or he's right because of course he's right. Gentlemen, I ask you this. Does Cadmus feel like it's finally becoming the Supergirl villain we've all been told that it is?
Yeah, it's starting to... And Cadmus has also learned how dumb DEO is and the tricks to get around it. And so, yeah, I think they're finally doing big plot things, and there's enough of a, they have enough of a bench to go to that it's not just like Lex Luthor's mom, and you're like, so it's just her and a bunch of goons. There's, they build up, she has like some lieutenants now, and then the goons, and that's any good villain is going to have peers.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, it's obscene how simple their plan was for this. They're like, hey, we've had this guy trapped for a long time. What if we just like make a really obvious run for it and release him? It was like, there was never any situation in which he was just home free.
And Mon-El isn't like an idiot. He's not a Neanderthal, but he is the dumbest of Team Supergirl, right?
He is not suave. There's definitely, if he thought for 1 second about what he like his actual plans are, everything would be fine, but he just blurts.
But he also, no, but I'm saying for him to see through it, and for everyone, these are the worst spies in the fucking world.
They are terrible.
It is frustrating that they are supposed to have like this super government shit, and none of them go, oh, let's just screen Jeremiah. Maybe have a doctor look at that arm.
You know what's crazy is that every show that we watch, not just for this podcast, but really every TV show I watch is liberals are the best, conservatives are the worst, because they are, and they're ruining the country with Russia and whatnot. This might be a conservative show, because like Mon-El is the conservative on this episode. And like, stop being so emotional and dumb and letting everybody in. You guys are going to ruin the country if you keep acting like this.
But in this scenario, he's not wrong, given the evidence we all actually have.
Right.
I don't understand how not a single person was even like, hey guys, let's just like change his passwords, maybe. Like,
John, this is so out of character for fucking John Jones. I'm most disappointed in him.
It's like, he was just like, yeah, let him in. It's fine. It's fine. This guy has been gone for years. We just rescued him. Let's not give him a medical once over. Let's just throw him back in. He's like, you're in tomorrow. It was like, it was as if everyone forgot how to be a security team. And we're just like, yeah, whatever.
Well, was it Kara or Mon-El who was like, do you remember what I had to go through in order to get on this team? Like,
it was Mon-El.
And I was just a normal ass person. Like, this is bullshit right now. But everybody was, well, no, he has that face. So.
And I wanted everybody at that dinner that Mon-El quote unquote ruined by not being a moron. Dean Cain just got out of prison for 15 years. Shouldn't him and his wife have a night alone? Or just like into any form of intimacy, a night alone? Because she was right. She's like, we got it. I'm sure she's been dating like 8 dudes. Yeah. And like both their dumb daughters invite their dumb new significant others that are both brand new. Let this family have a fucking night.
And I don't know if you noticed in the background, but at that party where they all got together, both the boys went to the background and gave that same Barry Allen story of kick a kid and do a dance.
Look, if you're trying to act tough, tell the story when you beat up a little kid.
No, if you're not that good at acting, and so you have no recorded dialogue, that's just what you do. Kick and swing and kick and swing.
Yeah, like, and then I'm pounding him, and then he cried a lot. It was real funny.
That is the hardest any of those characters have ever laughed, is when Dean Cain and Eliza,
okay,
the mom, looked over at their kids like lovingly. No character on the show has ever laughed that hard.
I want to hear the joke that somebody told, because it was hilarious.
I think that Maggie and Mon-El probably have the best like comedic chemistry that this show has ever seen, and we've never seen them interact, so they're just like fucking... They're the Nick Kroll and John Mulaney of this world, and we don't know it because we never get to see them interact.
What I would like is a background of the background, so it goes even deeper, and just Maggie and Mon-El look at each other like, why are they laughing so hard? What the fuck is up with this family right now?
We gotta leave.
And then it goes further into the background to the guy who watches them from a telescope across the street every night, and he's like, man, that looks like fun.
And another guy's watching him, and he's like, this guy's creepy.
Yeah. And then the DEO is still worse than all of them at security.
Yeah. At watching people, all of these people are better at watching people.
All these agents, where they have a bunch of agents, but no, when they're finally chasing Dean Cain, they send his two daughters, who, I don't know, might have some emotional hangups and not be able to do their job right. But no, let's have the rest of the team just sit at home, because he threw a magnet on their computer screen and destroyed their whole system. So the team's probably taking care of that.
He threw more things than a British airport.
That was, I'm going to say, I enjoyed Jessely Quick. That was too far.
So every week I'm bitching about how Maggie and Alex can't just have like a normal ass week where they don't have to like pick up. And I don't think they fought in this episode.
No.
But what do you guys think about Alex's just severe loyalty and severe lack of logic?
I was upset. I wished that this episode ended with her shooting her father. That is, and I'm not fully joking.
Because if you can get that emotional.
Yeah,
if you can get emotional, you're about to try to murder this super strong alien.
Yeah.
This isn't just about Taylor's need to shoot his own father. There's a chance where Alex has a gun on her father. She can do it.
Yeah.
And like bust him.
And he's like, we've already established, he's like, yeah, I'm not really your dad anymore. Like, I'm a different person. And she's like, yeah, bye.
John, she should be forced to resign. And any Alex B plot from here on out is not at the DO. It's just her and Maggie hanging out. Occasionally, she has dinner with Kara because she is bad at her job.
Or that was too crazy. She gets taken away to some sort of mental ward for young girls, and her next door neighbor is Polly Cooper.
Yes.
Are we still on crazy crossover time?
We have been this whole time.
Whoa. Is this Legion?
Do you have a moment of the week?
My moment of the week for Supergirl was, it was just Mon-El going crazy at the dinner and everyone being like, why are you being so weird? And he's like, what are you talking about? This is it. And then like him not really understanding why people might get angry at him for ruining dinner.
Well, cause yeah, he's not great at social cues. But what I like about that dinner is Dean Cain's like, let me show you out. Like, he's going to have to strong... How? And him and Alex, because Alex, like, was going to go for him. I'm like, what are you going to do? You're both stupid humans. Moment of the week?
My moment of the week, the one that I have noted here, I think is from Legion. So I'm going to skip that one, save that for later.
Yeah.
And I am going to also talk about how intense Mon-El was the entire time about how, no, just listen to me. Get this crazy person out of here. He seems like some sort of Oliver. That's basically what he was doing the whole time. He was saying that we now have the Oliver of Supergirl. Oliver was a character in the Fox show, The OC, and he's being Ryan Atwood right now, and I really appreciate that.
He is similar to Oliver. If Oliver grew up and his face grew wide instead of long,
Fat joke?
No.
Are you making fun of Dean Cain's weight?
He's not fat. When men of a certain age,
should we start calling him Sugar Cain?
Turn into ego.
Listen, the living planet. Dean Cain is on Mount Rushmore.
Oh, I know. He shares that. I like
that Dean Cain made his head the same size as someone who would be on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. My moment of the week is also Mon-El centered, but it's the one time he wasn't intense in this episode. Is Wynn is now with this alien lady. And he is talking about darts, and he's like, oh, I hit the fish guy in the head. And Mon-El's like, yeah, Kevin's awesome. That made me laugh out loud just that time, because he's like, oh, he didn't even get mad. He helped me get better at darts. And he's just like, genuinely like Kevin.
Oh, I just took that as like he's not paying attention. Like he heard somebody say fish guy in the ether and was like, yeah, Kevin's awesome. Whatever.
That's funny too. No matter what, that line made me laugh. And Supergirl, even when it's a good episode, does not often make me laugh. Your Supergirl's on CW Mondays.
My Supergirl?
Your Supergirl.
Uh-huh.
CW.
Wait, I am Supergirl?
You are Supergirl.
This is not so my Supergirl.
From now on, you're going to be
hashtag. CW. We're coming up with so many hashtags
on Mondays. Your third least best show of the week is The Walking Dead. This week on The Walking Dead, we could see Eugene acclimate to the saviors as he's given a suite room and free reign to hang out with Negan's wives as long as he doesn't try to fuck them. That's fine because he just wants to play video games with them and show off his sweet science skills, and they just want him to poison Negan. He refuses after seeing the doctor thrown into a furnace. Gentlemen, I ask you this. Do you think Eugene has bought into Negan's side, or is he playing some sort of long con?
I honestly think I kept watching for some sign from Eugene that he's actually still with Rick and the gang. And there was a smile as he walked away one time where I thought like, oh, what does that mean? But now Eugene is a giant wuss. And
he's a coward, and he says, oh, yeah. Let you know.
He's the first one to say it. Like, when people come in his door, he's like, hey, just so you know, I'm a big coward. What do you have to say? So, yeah, this is just now they have one of Rick's.
Yeah. I think he's not a coward, because to rock those cargo shorts and that kind of haircut, you have to be incredibly brave.
Stop defending you and your style decisions.
I think Eugene is absolutely on Team Negan. In such a way that, like, I feel like he was never on Team Rick.
Yeah.
I feel like he is fully in support of Team Negan. He's like, yeah, this place gave me the responsibility to, like, steal shit from people. I just stole all the medicine from everyone else in this place, and I feel good about it.
It was weird, because he is such a little whiner. And in that moment, I was like, yeah, you stand up for yourself. I was like, oh, but you're not standing up. I'm conflicted. I feel like the music here is like swelling in a way that I should be proud of you, but
no.
You're being a dickhead.
Eugene's a monster. And I think that's why he's on Negan's team. He's like, yeah, I am Negan and I didn't realize it until I met you. I think Eugene is just a terrible person. He's like, Negan lets me be this.
And probably much more realistic than those 13 people that were outside after they talked to, I'm really bad with the character names. They talked to the guy, the mayor of the uphill.
Gabriel.
No, Ezekiel.
No.
Gabriel.
The Gabriel is the priest, right? From The Wire?
Oh.
Yeah.
So before they talked to Ezekiel, they talked to the mayor of that one town.
Gil?
Sure.
Gregory.
And he screams at them, and then they walk out, like, they're not going to help them, and they walk outside, and there's like 13 people that say, oh, we'll help you.
Right.
How Eugene is acting is much more realistic than what any of those 13 people did. Let's go with what feels safe and what's going to get me jars of pickles.
And not only does he get jars of pickles, and he gets to play Galaga,
which is another jar of pixels.
Yes, thank you. It was a setup that we writ.
Good job, Mike.
You set him up. I knock him down, buddy.
Taylor, you were fine on that one, but Mike, you nailed it.
But he, despite all his lies and he's a coward, he can do all this science shit. And Negan's like, yeah, just make more sciencey shit for me. Like Rick could have given him a big job, and instead was like, well, just go in the corner, go away. Like it's Negan. This is the first sign that Negan is smart. Is how he's dealing with Eugene.
Okay, but was that giving all the zombies metal helmets idea really like so life-changing that
I thought it was?
Yeah,
because
that's when, badass.
Because when the other group of like D&D named people had their little guy with like the metal helmet and the spikes, I was like, oh, that's a really fucking good idea, because their whole plan is like just stab them in the head. You can't do that with a metal helmet. It's an invincible fucking zombie now.
So when the Zombocalypse comes, the LARPers will rule all.
Can we keep saying if? Can you just, like, I know that...
What did I say?
You said when.
I thought I...
And I know you guarantee that it's going to happen, but let's just say if around other people.
If.
Thank you.
Moment of the week, Ryan?
My moment of the week is actually Lobster. Just the whole conversation between the, the hand, the what do you call that, hotel person? Concierge of Negan's world and Eugene. And she's like,
that's the girl with the neck tattoo?
Yes. You can have anything you want. Well, I want lobster. Come on, fucking asshole. Like, just tell me what you actually want. Be realistic. That whole back and forth was actually pretty good for The Walking Dead.
Taylor?
Mine is, I forgot what Eugene's name was when I was watching it, so I just wrote, fat mullet man doing sad science magic for slave hostesses.
Yeah, that is a desperate sixth grade science teacher, like, trying to wow his audience.
And you could tell because he wasn't even happy about it. He was just, like, grumbling. He was like,
Yeah, he was singing like Looney Tunes songs.
And he did the little flame thing and it did the shooty thing. And he's like, there's this fucking magic.
The ladies, however, or at least the sober ones, were blown away. Yeah. They had never seen anything like that.
Their reaction made me think that they were still a plant and they were trying to get on his good side to like test him, but no.
Well, all they got to do is drink and wear slinky black dresses and forcibly fuck Negan. This is the best thing that's happened to them in years.
Which
that's
I thought true. Was awesome. They got to go to that room wearing those hot black dresses until they showed up for the next 4 days in those same black dresses. And I was like, oh,
they stink.
That's sad and dirty.
Yeah.
My moment of the week is when Eugene is being a monster and stealing all the medicine and the, what's the butt pan called?
A bedpan.
You were so close. He takes the stuffed animal and goes, I don't know what this is. And very quietly goes, I'm going to call this a grimly gunk.
That's very Eugene. That is very Eugene.
Your next best show of the week is Arrow.
This week on Arrow, a government actually holds its elected officials accountable and tries to impeach Mayor Ollie for covering up the murder of a detective, causing Vigilante to come after Ollie and Thean Felicity to try to blackmail a dude about his dead wife. With the power of teamwork and good morals, the crew's able to keep Ollie alive and in office, but at the cost of making Green Arrow public enemy number one. Gentlemen, with a DAA gone rogue and a hero sacrificing his reputation for the greater good, what other plot points from The Dark Knight would you like to see in this season of Arrow?
I could see like a nurse dressed as a clown blow up a hospital.
Oh, I would love that.
At one point, do you think we can get Susan Williams and, I guess for some reason, Adrian Chase in different parts of Star City? In rooms full of gasoline about to blow up? Adrian Chase's plan is so convoluted that he's forgotten who he was supposed to tie up?
I would love that so much if like he made a plan that was him tied up and he goes, oh fuck, how did I get here? And like it cuts backwards to him tying him own stuff up and he's like, I'm gonna get you fucking Arrow. You're gonna get it.
Do you think that they could realize that Gary Oldman is too much of an old man, and so they have to go back and get Jim Gordon from Gotham here to hang out with Thea and maybe fight some sort of surf punks that are running women off the road? Do you think that's a possibility?
I think it most certainly is a possibility.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Because you will hurt somebody in the audience if we don't agree with your fucking demands. The OC is your Zombocalypse.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with giving your ideals to people and saying you will hurt them if they don't bow down to those ideals immediately. There's not even a term for that, I don't believe.
Okay, so I've been quiet this entire time, but is the surf punk thing a fucking OC reference? Because I was just playing along because I didn't want to say that I didn't get the fucking reference that you were making for that entire bit, but is that another OC reference?
Yeah,
is that like three OC references this week?
I promised myself I would only do two, because if I did more than two, you would freak the fuck out, but no, it's two. Two is your number.
It's because it's every week. It's every week.
There's been more than that. There's a lot of them flown.
Shut up, Mike. Shut up.
I'm going to flip this fucking desk over. I have had it. I'm about to Bill Bixby out.
Oh, wow. Do you have some sort of disorder with that show? Do you have some sort of OCD?
When the Vigilante v. Prometheus fight happened.
Yes.
Were you... Because this whole time, you're comic nerdy enough or you live on the internet enough to know that Adrian Chase is Vigilante in the comics?
Of course.
Were you blown away that Adrian Chase is in fact Prometheus in the Arrow world?
I don't want to give too many qualifiers to this. I thought the reveal was very well done. I thought that my gasp was appropriate when it happened.
Yeah, they did this reveal better than they've done other reveals.
And they were so all about showing us that Adrian Chase was Vigilante.
Oh, there's a lot of those misdirects in this episode.
But it's hard. I mean, like, I'm going to shit on Arrow as I compliment it, but it's hard to know, is Arrow leading me somewhere where they clearly want me to be, or are they so bad at, like, covering up a mystery that I figured it out, you know, two seasons ago? But the whole scene, the whole pull off the mask and reveal, I thought was very well done.
And then who do you think Vigilante is?
I think it's... I was about to say, I think it's John Diggle, but in a separate, like a clone of him is
a different
just
Earth.
Yeah, it's a different Earth. John Diggle,
New Earth. John Diggle
is Vigilante, and he's trying to kill people to show Ollie the error of his ways, to give him a little pep talk right at the end, right before he dies.
You said the error of his ways.
Did I actually say error of his ways?
Based on the editing of this episode, I knew who Vigilante was. It was Adrian Chase. I didn't know who Prometheus was. Now I know who Prometheus is. Based on the editing of this episode and what the direct cut to was after that, it makes it seem like Mr. Terrific's boyfriend.
Right, because we haven't seen him forever. So Paul's like, I have to divorce you because I'm addicted to murdering.
Does it say that on the divorce contract?
Yeah.
Is that what you signed?
You have to say
contract?
A reason.
Yeah. They don't tell you about it, but 50% of marriages end in divorce. 50% of divorces end with that contract that I just love murdering too much. I have to leave you. I'm sorry.
My weakness is I love murdering too much, as Papa Roach once sang.
Well, you get two options. It's an old form that needs to be updated. It's check box A or box B. Box A is I care too much. Box B is I murder too much.
But yeah, that's all under the Papa Roach policy of 1912.
They're just a band of lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a really boring band when you get down to it. Taylor, moment of the week.
My moment of the week was, did you guys notice what the license plate of the limo was when it got flipped?
Mm-mm.
It was D3DMYR, dead mayor.
Oh, that's adorable.
That was the limo's license plate. I wrote it down. I was like, fuck you, show, but also that's amazing.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. Ryan?
It's the reveal. I thought that Arrow sometimes puts its ham-fisted foot in its mouth.
Yeah.
Heart, ooh, butt.
Salty.
And I thought that it was pretty well done.
Mine was, in the very beginning, Wild Doug is giving Curtis shit.
Wild Doug.
Wild Doug. Doug gets a little wild.
Doug, calm down.
There's normal Doug, and he's like the team's accountant. And then there's Wild Doug, who has a drinking problem.
Can Greg Berlanti make a CW Doug funny show, please?
Oh, he'd probably be really good. And
call the arrow
mystery
of our ways.
So Wild Dog is giving Curtis shit, and Curtis is like, yeah, you just did this. I'm trying to be better. And he's like, oh, yeah, I guess you're doing the thing as I get, we're friends. And like, he just had this like grumble that was so like funny and honest that it was the most natural he's ever been, and I loved it.
And that's like, that's essentially like Wild Dog going to therapy or AA and then apologizing. Like, that's as far as Wild Dog will go.
Your second best show of the week is Riverdale.
This week on Middle America's Got Talent, everyone is trying out for the big school talent show, and Archie alienates Veronica by ditching her for Valerie, because Valerie left the Pussycats because Josie was being a diva, but Josie was just being a diva to impress her Jazz Daddy, and Jazz Daddy wants the Pussycats to be good, so Josie brings Veronica to the Pussycats, but Veronica doesn't have her head in the game because Veronica's mom is banging Archie's dad to give him a construction contract from Josie's mom, but Veronica's mom needs her signature to do it, but Veronica won't, because it wouldn't be weird to fuck Archie if they were step-siblings. Also, Betty and Jughead are a thing and visit an insane asylum to do mystery shit. Gentlemen, I ask you, is there a less dynamic song to perform for a badass group at a high school talent show than that Donna Summer song they sang?
Something by Styx.
Oh.
I think that if they did some sort of like keyboarding, like Come Sail Away.
Oh, see, more than Come Sail Away, because at least that has pep, but I'm thinking like very atonal keyboards, like, wah, and then all in unison, all four of them go, oh, mama, I'm in fear for my
Renegade.
Life.
Renegade is an underrated Styx song.
I love Renegade.
Do you? Because it doesn't sound like it, Mike.
The way they cover songs, they would make it drony and boring.
Do they sing, my lady? Is that Styx?
I don't think so.
But we need to go karaoke right now, because I just realized we've never karaoke'd Styx.
That is true.
And that's going to get fixed, sons.
Speaking of Styx.
It's going to be Styxed.
HR. So I was got no. That's a bad segue. We're talking about Riverdale.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot happened in this episode. That, and then there was also the mystery shit.
Mike, I have a question. Probably about 2 months before the election, when we thought that President Clinton would be in office right mm-hmm. now, you said, "Are we going to feel bad because we spent months and months making fun of somebody who is severely mentally challenged?"
Talking about Trump.
Like, we just laughed at someone who had lost his grip on reality, maybe Alzheimer's, maybe something.
Mm-hmm.
Are we watching a show where the lead character has severely mentally challenged?
I think Legion. So.
But the characters look at him pityingly now, right?
Yeah.
So do the characters, like, there's that scene.
They seem to have more understanding than you would. Like, Archie's just a rude, ignorant asshole, and they're like, well, Archie's Archie.
But today I mean this week's episode, at the picnic table, Jughead and Betty are like whispering up the Nuns of Latter-day Saints mystery horror house.
That was I love that place.
And
which, you need such a big sign, but they put the money into that sign and put that title there.
And Archie's like, can I help? And they look at him, look at each other, and roll their eyes, and like, nah, we got it, bro, you fucking sing your bad little shitty songs.
I'm so scared that the two of you treat the three of us like equals, but when I'm not around, you're just hoping that I don't come out so you can go have your fucking adventures, because I have borderline Down syndrome.
Yes.
They, And I have the same hair color. I have the same abs as he does.
You get two choices if you're a redhead. Which box are you going to check? Either die a villain or live long enough to become a dumb, dumb, retarded villain.
He is the worst character on the show, and everyone looks down on him and feels bad because he's like, my only thing now is I sing songs because I turned away the football thing. And he gets on stage, he's like, I can't sing the song. And Veronica comes and is like, come here. Do you want me to change your diaper for you? Listen, I'll come up there. I'll sing the songs for you. It'll be fine.
Which is how bitchy Veronica is. She will say, can I change your diaper? To a person who has severe mental difficulties.
And that's,
can't
I
do that.
I like her that she's not PC, man.
Ronnie's
she's,
Ronnie.
She's the Howard Stern of this world. She's going to go there and burn whoever needs to be burned.
I wrote down, Archie is a baffling moron this entire time and this entire
worst
season, but I wrote down my favorite. He is Josie and the Pussycats, the lead singers. Her name is Josie. It's short for Josephine. He finds that out and is blown away. He can't handle, like, he has to, like, he starts hyperventilating because I didn't know Josie was short for Josephine.
It's like he reacted more to that than the kid in their school dying, his teacher being a child molester and fucking him,
he
and
has
then
to
getting
take
kicked
a minute
out.
Yes.
Yeah. He was like, wait, your full name is Josephine?
Well, when your brain's not, it's not, when you're not neurotypical,
you should we go to the PowerPoint?
You react to things PowerPoint differently. And it makes the douchey jazz dad even douchier because he should realize this is a slack-jawed guy with problems.
All right.
And he says, what is not Pat Benatar? What name does he throw out there?
Oh, it's a
Josephine Baker.
Yes.
Josephine Baker. And he's like, I bet you don't even know who. You 16-year-old in 2017? How dare you?
To be fair, Archie also sings like folk music and did not know who Bob Dylan was in this episode.
And yeah, also, to be fair, Archie was born alone, dies alone, and he sings alone. So how is he going to sing with Josephine Baker if he sings alone?
Can we talk about how fucking dark that comment was? He was like, listen, I was born alone, I'm going to die alone. And he said it with a total smile.
Big smirk, big Archie Andrews smirk.
I think that was a cover-up because he's realized how condescending the town has been to him. And he realized his place is actually the village idiot. And he's just like, I'll kill you.
Is that a common thing that happens in stories like The Hunchback of Notre Dame? Or when you realize that you're the freak of the city?
Yeah.
Do you come to terms with that like Archie did in that moment?
I think so.
Wow.
This episode put the nail in the coffin, though, of my theory that Betty is Polly.
Yeah, Betty is not Polly.
Which I'm still slightly holding on to it somehow.
You're wrong. There's an episode. So really, they went there and Jughead looked on horrified as Betty ran back and forth.
I'm just waiting
room
for the
parts
reveal because I know they can pull it off.
There was an episode she pretended to be Polly, right?
Yes, that was episode 3.
But
with the wig.
Now that
and
we've
jacuzzi
seen Polly, they look fucking nothing alike.
Well, they have
so
who did she slightly trick similar hair color, so that counts.
Who
in
did she trick?
Oh, yeah, she doesn't even have the black bob.
Yeah,
hat.
I don't know where she got that wig, which makes me think she owned that wig for other reasons.
Oh, and oh my God, did she own that wig?
She did.
Okay, so we got two new couples in this episode, gentlemen. And I need you to in like three words or less, tell me how you feel about the Archie, what's the pussycat's name? That's not Josie.
Valerie.
Valerie. Archie Valerie. Valerie. And then that we get Betty Jughead.
Betty Jughead in three words, weird kiss unearned.
I will say high on mystery.
Oh, yeah. We've been there. We were looking for something in your garage once. Couldn't find it.
We dated for 2 years.
That's I how mean, this show came
you get
about
super high on mystery, for sure.
What,
I don't,
what
I
they
don't
weren't getting high on was all those drugs in that car.
No.
What was that? Okay, look, we got to put something in the car. Let's fill it
Letterman's
with like
jacket,
perfectly packaged
suitcase
marijuana cases.
I think
like,
well,
those,
okay,
that marijuana is like sold at Sprouts. It was so nice.
Okay, was that marijuana? I thought that was an entire brick of like heroin because I was watching it in the dark. So my brightness was turned down.
I just think that between Betty and Veronica, doesn't the show have enough heroin?
Hey!
And then Valerie Archie.
She's slumming it.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's slumming it. Yeah, she's yeah slumming it.
In every talent-wise, looks-wise, smarts-wise.
In fact, based on a lot of websites I've gone to, she could be arrested for what she's doing for people who are not capable of making their own decisions.
Yeah. Moment of the week?
My moment of the week was, and this was the moment that I think I realized I might love Riverdale too much. When
you just realized that?
Yeah, come on, dude.
Okay.
We've called your parents about your love for
I
Riverdale.
I know. when Veronica joins the Pussycats and they do the entrance, and it's a slow-mo entrance and she's wearing the cat ears, I got so excited that I had to take off the jacket I was wearing because I was too hot and it was overpowering me and there were tears in my eyes.
Did you flip a fan out of nowhere and just start waving your face?
I did.
Oh, my stars.
I just started shouting because I loved it so much.
Do the Pussycats have extra ears on hand in case that this situation happens, or are they, and I apologize, so catty that they will give her, what is her name, Valerie's ears. They give her Valerie's ears?
I think, well, no, they have to have extra because when they perform at the talent show, they have four pairs.
I think it's like the T-Birds. You always got some, they took over a storage closet at the school and it's just filled with fucking
Like the T-Birds, they're the P-Cats.
Yes. The P-Cats v. T-Birds. Your moment of the week?
My moment of the week, I already referenced, it's when Betty accuses her father of killing someone. It's her mom's reaction.
Yeah.
Holy shit. She's like, we are talking severe, insane witch cackle.
Unhinged laughter. Okay.
So shit. Before you go, Mike, did I tell you what my prediction for the ending of the season?
No.
All right. So I think it's 13 episodes. And like the 13th episode is batshit. If the first six have or five have given us any clue, the last episode is going to be batshit. And everything's going to calm down. And then like the, what do you call it? The stinger or whatever is some guidance counselor saying, hey, Archie Andrews, will you introduce this new girl? This is a transfer student to the school. And she says, hi, my name is Sabrina.
Oh, that would be fucking amazing.
All right, Mike, what's your moment of the week?
My moment of the week, because I had a tie and you took one of them, so is that we find out Archie is terrified of rubber wolf masks.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And anytime he's nervous, everybody...
There's so much to talk about.
...wears those wolf masks. It is mind-boggling. But Riverdale, you should watch it, is on Thursday nights on the CW. And our number one show of the week is Legion.
On this week's midway point of Legion, David meets up with Melanie's husband, Jermaine Clement, who is locked up in a little prison listening to jazz and getting bummed about bras. Meanwhile, the rest of the gang takes on the Eye, who Sid is able to switch places with just in the nick of time. Meanwhile, David has a dog. Meanwhile, David's sister is locked up in the most annoying jail cell of all time with David's doctor. Meanwhile, potentially none of this is true. Gentlemen, I ask you this. With almost no relation to X-Men thus far, does that make this the worst show we have ever watched in the history of this podcast? Mike, there's almost no relation to comic books. What are we to do?
Shut your goddamn whore mouth. It's so good. Every time there's a new character or their power, I hop online. Because at first I just sit there on my couch and sit for 3 hours and go through my mental Rolodex of mutants.
Try not to levitate, but eventually, like, you automatically do?
Yeah. And then when no mutants show up, then I go online, and that they're all new. And I don't. Maybe there's a nerd freaking out that they don't know these mutants, but it's, fuck, Noah Hawley, take over every franchise ever. It's so good.
Let me ask you this question, and I didn't want this to be my question because I'm afraid that we're going to ask it for every show, but are you getting a firmer grasp on what real and what not?
Yes, I think so, because this might be the first episode we've gotten that's not told from David's point of view. This was a Sid show. She stole it. She owned it. It was her view, and it's still sifted through David's memories and told in a weird way, because why just tell us a normal linear story when you don't have to? But I think Sid and the Carries and Melanie and Ptolemy are real people doing real things in the real world. I cannot tell you if... Well, we know Cake the dog is not real. I do not know if Katie Azleton is real.
That's the sister.
That's the sister, sorry. The psychiatrist. Or Lenny... Lenny Benny?
Lenny Benny.
Lenny is Benny?
Uh-huh.
Benny is Lenny? What does that even mean?
Nicholas Einhorn, the whole show is crazy.
If he was always just in his head, especially that last, was it the last scene, but where Lenny puts her ghost arm around David and that ghost arm turns into the yellow man.
Shot. Are you kidding me? I have to go to sleep after I watch the show, you moron. Yeah, it's the parts that I'm confused, I am joyfully confused, yeah. But I totally back up what you're saying is that we do have a clear line of what is real and what's going on. And like the whole tables could be kicked up like Taylor would do if I make one more OC reference. Mm-hmm. But I'm braced for it. I'm ready. And fuck, man, this is everything that I had hoped and thought it would be.
And that we're slowly getting to know the other characters. And I think there's been some complaints that they're not like being, what's the word, like not adapted. like introduced quick enough to be here. But I love the pace they're going. We really get to know David, and now we're getting to know him even more because he's been lying. He's not just a junkie; he's also a murderer.
But the cool thing though is that they like throwing us into David's brain inherently gets us to know David.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like what you said about how now let's make this the Sid show. And if we make this the Sid show for the final, this episode and the final four, then it's still going to be the David show. That's all done.
Right.
Let's see how Sid reacts to all of this as a mutant, as a freedom fighter, as a girl
a new
in
lover.
Love. Yeah.
And that because of that we get to know Melanie more and that Ptolemy. He's starting to show more like he's like dry. He's not just there to help memory. He has like thoughts and reactions to things. And I fucking love girl Carrie and guy Carrie. The learning about their backstory is fucking dope.
All right. So this is not my moment of the week because my moment of the week for, what was it? The Flash or whatever is going to be my actual moment of the week. So let's get to the Carries real quick. I don't even want to try to explain. But they do have some sort of like twin connection.
She lives in his body and only ages when she comes out of his body.
But she can do that whenever she wants for as long as she wants?
Yes.
Okay.
So she only ages when she comes out in open Carries?
Mm-hmm.
He is 50.
Yes.
She's
25. Yeah.
Yeah. He is kind of a sensitive overthinker.
Mm-hmm.
She is Billy Badass.
She's so pissed they're not fighting and killing people yet.
Not just capable of fighting. Demands fighting at all times.
Like, taps her foot, goes, why aren't we killing anybody yet?
And we've seen the whole trope of, like, how twins affect twins, but that final montage of them fighting together.
Beautifully choreographed, and where he almost hits David a bunch of times, and then, like, realizing, so sorry, David's, like, in a coma, and dancing, fighting with that broom, it was fucking great.
The thing is, with shows like Supergirl and The Flash, and I don't mean to, like, trash them, but, like, we'll put them on the other side of mm-hmm. Legion. We can tell when they're acting at CGI, when they're acting with things that are not around them, for Carrie girl to fight against these guys while Carrie boy does this dance alone in his office. That's the kind of acting I'm looking for, because he went 110% and it was wonderful.
Well, it wasn't try to fight CGI. They brought in like a professional modern choreographer and taught him this weird fight dance and he did it beautifully. It was, I want to watch that scene over and over and over again. Jermaine Clement, I know we have to get out of here, but how would you feel about him and his addition?
Well, he is the first thing you see, so I was already like applauding. Like, mm-hmm. You could do more Legion. Like, you're really going to surprise me like this, even in ways that I never expected. And then his just matter of fact delivery of, this is my life, this is what it's like, just so awesome.
That it's. And this isn't a knock. It's just like if Jermaine from the Flight of the Conchords TV show had superpowers and was in the 60s or whatever era. Like, he is not much of a different guy.
And a lot of shows, a lot of Lost-like shows where they're trying to keep a bunch of secrets back, they will have these unanswered questions that are annoying. When Jermaine Clement won't answer a question or explain exactly what's going on, it's magnificent to watch. It's just so charming and endearing.
And feels like they told David Haller's the actor, like, oh, you just say your normal lines and get these things from him. Like, it's that they both had jobs to do, and he assumed they would have a normal scene because his level of frustration felt so real.
Right. Plus, I don't know if you've ever, like, driven somewhere to buy drugs, and you just want to buy the drugs and leave, but the drug dealer will, like, try to keep you in there. That's what he was like.
Fucking
like,
put on an experimental jazz record. And
let me put on this. Let's just listen to this record for 2 seconds, and then you can go.
Gale you with beat poetry. Moment of the week.
My moment of the week was the more editing stuff was Katie Asselton, the sister, saying, we've never had a dog.
Yeah.
And then it cut to Cake the dog. Or is it Cake?
Cake.
Cake the dog. And it just stayed there.
Yeah.
And we just had to sit and watch this dog and not understand if it was real or not and what real is and who is real. Am I real? I was thinking, like, I'm going to have to talk to Mike about this soon. Is Mike fucking real? What is going on right now?
It's the most scared I've ever been staring at a beagle before.
It was the perfect amount of lingering. Not too long, not too short.
Mine, it's a much smaller moment. It's before, and we talked about the scene that came after, but it's girl Carrie's smile when she realizes they are surrounded, and then she sprints out of a window.
Yes.
But it's just like that twitch
Pauly
of her
Cooper
lip.
Style.
It's just like, oh. It was so good.
And they did the slow motion really awesome, where they started slow motion, so you got the hair wave, and mm-hmm. then cut to regular, so it was just a little bit of cool, and then let's bounce out this fucking two-story window.
Legion is on FX on Wednesday nights. Taylor, what website should everybody go to?
Yourpopfilter.com. It's where you can get this podcast and other fun things. It's the best place on the internet for all types of media, or if you just like websites, if you're trying to collect them all like Pokemon, definitely collect yourpopfilter.com. It's the Klefki of the internet.
Well, that sounds like an insult because we just talked about how Klefki's so... Ryan, what's better than Klefki?
Yourpopfilter.com/Amazon?
Sure.
If you make that your Amazon bookmark, then you can go buy stuff for the low, low prices that you've always enjoyed with Amazon. But we will know. Not that we'll know what you bought. That's not true. No, it is true that we will not know what you bought. But
tap dancing a little too hard there.
You will support the show. I'm not fucking lying. I'm not lying. We don't know what you bought. But
all right, Jeff Sessions.
Topical.
Jeff Beauregard Sessions. His middle name is Beauregard, guys. You will help out the show. You will support the show and give us all of the stuff we need to get the lights on and the computers running. Yourpopfilter.com/Amazon.
Look, you're tired of every week checking exactly what time Friday night or Saturday morning this show comes out. That's dumb of you. Go to iTunes, hit subscribe, rate us, review us. It really helps us out. That's how iTunes works, dum-dums. Social media.
You can go to Twitter at yourpopfilter, Facebook at yourpopfilter.com.
Facebook.com/yourpopfilter.
Yeah. That,
if you go to yourpopfilter.com, that's an entirely different website.
Yeah.
That you talked about already.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's Facebook and also that thing. Go there, like us, comment on us. I think they're allowed to do that, right?
Yeah. Comment right on us.
Comment on our tits.
Yeah.
How should they get in touch with us, Ryan?
If you would like to actually be a part of the show, there's two ways you can do that. One, email us your questions, concerns, and comments about everything we are doing or not doing, and we will probably, unless they're stupid, like if you write an email to us complaining about how your Sizzler steak was dry, we're not going to read that. We're going to read that on the show.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But if it's anywhere...
Because they get how important steaks are and exactly how to deal with steaks.
Do they?
In a way, a lot of shows Sizzler do not.
If it's anything between what we're doing and Sizzler steaks, we're not going to read it. But if you address those two things, Sizzler and what we're doing, then we will address it on the show in a little segment I like to call contact@yourpopfilter.com. Email us there, and we will read your email. And the other way?
Yep.
Do you want the other way?
Sure.
To talk about the robot?
Yeah.
You get to talk about a robot.
I hate him.
Okay, but this is addressing your fears. You should do
it. Yeah, I got to look at him dead on, just like he was a rubber Wolfman mask. I'm going to stare at him and play through my shitty fucking song.
Why did the jock, there was like 14 people in the audience, and seven of them were the jocks that came there just to what? Make fun of the retarded kid
who's on their team.
Jocks are mean. Wait, he still plays
captain
football.
He was almost the captain of the football team.
And those people were going to follow him into the breach.
It's weird that they're all on a team and half of their insults are stick to football. Like, these are your brothers in arms.
My advice, if I was Fred Andrews, next time I see those werewolves, you show them your full moon. Just give him your butt.
That's sexual.
Just give him that Archie Andrews butt. What you guys don't know about gingers, having not been one ever, is a giant tuft of red pubic hair coming straight out of the butthole. So that's something that werewolves need to see.
So give us what do you think werewolves need to see? Give our robot associate a call at 1562-DRDJ-POP. That's 1562-DRDJ-POP. That is because he is a medical doctor, and he spins on the ones and twos on the weekends. One of his hands is a spatula. His other hand is a garlic masher.
Yep.
1562.
Don't put a question mark at the end of that.
DJ-POP. For Ryan, I'm Taylor. For Taylor and Mike, for Mike, I'm Ryan. Next week, we'll be talking about
Legends of Tomorrow.
Legends.
It's the main stage.
In so long. Since Hawkman and Hot Girl have been on.
I looked it up. It's been 4 months.
4 months. 4 months too short, I say.
You want to do it every week?
Yes. So tune in for that. Enough said.